Time out. Instant replay. So you merged. You own 40%. CFO embezzles from another thing. Here are the keys to our company. Have a field day.
Wow. Okay. Leah, 918 Design Co. went through a merger to an unmerger. She's sharing all of the things that she learned through this process. Pretty wild story, actually. And there's so many shops that are considering this or want to do it or looking at it or have done it. And so she's sharing a lot of the lessons learned.
That was a story.
That was a story. That's the comment.
That was... Hold on to your seatbelts for this one. And it's, gosh, so many good lessons learned, and how it all ended up is going to throw everyone for a little bit of a curveball. So you got to watch to the end, like, comment, subscribe. But this podcast would not be possible without our incredible sponsors. Bruce, kick us off.
Stalls. All right. Write down this coupon code, Hustler20. Hustler20, that gets you 20% off your DTF transfer order. Stalls is stalls.com, ready to take your custom apparel to the next level. Stalls is the leader in heat printing solutions. So whether you're just a small shop getting started or an established brand, Stalls makes the hustle easy. They've got an incredibly, like, super deep amount of types of transfers too. You could check them out at a trade show or online. Order that sample pack, actually. It's crazy, all the stuff that they can do now. Equipment, transfers, and support for your business. Stalls.com. Check them out.
Stalls, we're using all of, like, their 3D, some of their emblem, chenille, like, PVC crazy patches. We did a hat bar. My wife
uses different stuff. And
yeah,
it's super specialty stuff. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Stalls. We appreciate it. And if you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you can hit up GraphicSource. GraphicSource offers industry-leading outsource options for your shop. By truly becoming a part of your team, and by truly becoming a part of your team, I have two employees that are in Honduras this week that are actually training with the GraphicSource team that went down there. So I mean it when I say it. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management softwares. If it comes to steps, mockups, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, there's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game. They really know and understand shop needs. Hit up GraphicSource. Tell them we sent you. You'll get 50% off your first vector, step, or embroidery order.
Graphics Pro Expo. It is coming August 21st to 23rd in Long Beach, California. So if you're nearby or you want to see it, you need a trade show to get information, equipment, research on screen printing, DTF, embroidery, and a bunch more. They've got tons of classes, Graphics Pro University, plus a bunch of exhibitors are going to be there. I know Inktavo is going to be there too. You can check out all kinds of new stuff too. So if you're looking to diversify a bit, they've got stuff on signage and wraps, personalization. It's all there. Use the code though when you register, HUSTLERS, all caps, HUSTLERS. That gets you 50% off the registration fee.
Multicraft. If you haven't heard of Multicraft_daddy, you need to go to Instagram right now and follow Dave Eggers.
Did you watch the video that I sent you?
He's in a lake, or you haven't seen the lake yet.
He's making AI video. I mean, the one where he's driving the moped to deliver the PMI tape.
No. Most recently, he's treading water in a lake. We got to work on your buoyancy, Dave. The videos are getting spicier. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. You mentioned the Printavo pod, you'll get 10% off your first order. Dave gives away a free case of PMI tape every single week. Maybe he'll deliver it on a Vespa. DM him right now. Dave, you're crushing it. We love you. Multicraft_daddy.
All right. Printprofit.com. Go there, get your one-on-one free profit audit at printprofit.com, and check out their software platform. It allows you to watch your profitability for your shop in real time every single day instead of waiting to the end of the month when books are closed. It's actually a really, really cool tool. I've seen a demo at Long Beach. It's profitability software built for print shops. Think about it like a co-pilot, right? It connects to Printavo, it connects to your QuickBooks, and in real time, you can see where you stand and where to go next. That way you can run your shop with more confidence. But get a demo from Nick G. We've had him on the pod to talk about contribution margin and how you can use it to better think about profitability for your shop. Nick spent a lot of time in this space now, so very cool. Very excited to see it. Printprofit.com.
Easy Way is the easiest way. And if you don't use Easy Way, you should, because Easy Way is launching a new monthly giveaway program to give back to their amazing customers. So each month, they're giving away a $250 prize. It's super easy to enter. Easyway.com/giveaway. Make reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with Easy Way systems, chemical, and equipment. And yeah, you can get a free giveaway. They've got amazing resources. You know, they're such a great team. And we absolutely love them. So thanks so much, Easy Way. Check out that giveaway.
All right. Let's jump into the pod. Well, Leah, how have you been? How's 2025 been going for you guys?
Good. Yeah. So, there's some bumps, but yeah, no, I think things are going pretty good.
Did you have, there was a lot, it's hard to pull the data out of this, but there was a lot of slowness early this year that people felt was more than last year. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I think so. It was really slow in January and February. I was in a weird situation with the whole merger thing, but I did feel like it's always slow during that time. But I don't know. It was just kind of different this year, I feel like. Hopefully we won't experience that again. Our business is really picking up now.
So Leah, 918 Design Company, we're talking about a little merger. Can you give listeners like a 30 second about you and your shop?
918 Design Company was formed in 2016. I've actually been in the industry since 97. It was just the little side thing I did while I raised my kids, you know, didn't really try to grow the business. Even at that, even when I formed this company, I really wasn't trying to grow the business. And so I just did what came my way. And then in 2021, we definitely like made a change and started trying to grow the company and go different directions and have different clients. And that's something that we continue to, you know, try to improve upon each quarter, I guess you could say, where try to lose maybe the bottom 10% and get a better, you know, it just get our orders to where they're bigger and just dealing with a different type of clientele than what maybe we were dealing with previously. We do screen printing, embroidery, laser engraving in-house. We have an auto and a couple of manuals, 15 heads of embroidery. We apply DTF. We do not print it. I'm in Tulsa. There's several people that wholesale. So we just buy DTF.
Sweet. And Leah, how big's your team now?
There's 12 of us total. Some of those people are part-time and some full-time.
Well, and you've been on the podcast before, right?
I have.
Yeah, a year ago.
I have to be one of y'all's biggest fans. So
thank you.
The information you put in the industry, it just helps me so much. I really look forward to Wednesdays, even when it's a topic that I think I don't hear anything about that. That doesn't relate. I can't relate to that really. I listen anyway, and I always learn something. So I really appreciate the give back.
Thank you.
Yeah. And she's got a great story, which you guys can see the link down below, because you guys have grown a lot since you've really focused on growing the business. You as a leader, you know, as an owner from this year or last year to this year, what do you think are the differences there?
I've had to teach myself to not worry about the small things and try to always look at the big picture, you know, to not get sidetracked and micromanage something that in the big picture doesn't really matter anyway.
Like and what? What do you feel like you were micromanaging?
Just anything, you know, where you know, and you're like, why are we doing it that way? And so I've learned to just pause and just try to decide, does it affect anything us doing it that way? And if it doesn't, just let people be, you know, because I kind of like things to be done the way I like them to be done, you know, to some degree. But as we've grown, you know, you've just got to empower people to make some decisions on their own. And if it's going to affect the overall product, the end result or whatever, then step in. But it's also helped me, like I have a production manager now. And so that puts a layer of cushion between me and everyone in the back of the house. And that's been really helpful too, because even when it's a really solid issue that needs to be addressed, his delivery is better than mine sometimes. And I recognize that my delivery can be off, especially when I'm stressed or, you know, it's a crazy situation. Like, you know, we're putting the front on the back or the back on the front or something like that. But he just handles it so much better. And his team genuinely likes him and takes criticism, takes, you know, suggestions for improvement and suggestions for change. They just accept that really well from him. So having a production manager really helps too. And it frees up my time to not worry about some of those things I didn't need to be worrying about anyway.
Leah, what about like the people management, like not the HR, but like getting in the employees' like business? Like, do you almost feel like now you have a protective layer where it's like, I don't care, you know, whatever they get into is their problem?
Yeah. I like that, because managing the people is my least favorite part of the job. I enjoy the sales part more. The production part I can do. I mean, like, I'm an excellent embroidery machine operator, but I don't want to operate embroidery machines anymore. So, you know, you've got the production, the sales, and then the HR type stuff. I definitely enjoy the sales side the most. So all the back of the house people, they text my production manager with their 99 reasons why they can't come to work today. And again, you know, by the time I find out they're not going to be there, the day's running smooth. So I don't have that panic, you know, it's just really helped. It's taken that off my plate and made it something that I don't have to worry about.
How'd you find that production manager?
He was actually a screen printer. And, when we merged with the other company, he worked there, and I wanted to put him in a production management role, and they wouldn't agree with me to do that. So when we unmerged, I immediately put him in the role, and he's done really, really well. I mean, he knows how to screen print. He's a graphic designer by trade. So he may not be the best one in the building at any given task, but he knows how to do all the tasks, and he's really pays attention to detail, and he's a good team leader. He's really, you know, positive and all of that. And then he just really cares, you know, if our receiving person's out, he'll stay late to get stuff parted. You know, I mean, he just jumps in and does what's necessary. So I'm real blessed.
Leah, I think everyone who is listening, we might need to just instant replay that, because you just said we merged.
Yeah, and then I wrote that down.
And then we unmerged.
I wrote it down right here.
We're going to put that
question mark.
We're going to put that on instant replay for a second. Holy moly. As much as you can talk about, and I think merging is a really hot topic in our industry right now. Acquisitions, figuring out your exit strategy, all of those different things. So we want to buckle in and kind of hear the story a little bit. Why did you decide to merge? Maybe we start with that, like kind of the genesis of merging, and then we can figure out why you unmerge. Maybe that's the second half of this.
And by the way, Leah just joined Fabric, and one of the things that you said, the sentence that I highlighted, which I think is that... what can you ask me about? We do this thing called intros. What can you ask me about? And you wrote all the things you should or shouldn't do when merging with another company, because I learned so much. And you go, woo, at the end. What was your business like before you decided you wanted to merge with a company?
So I didn't have a production manager. And we were maybe 1.3 million range. No production manager. So my life sucked. It was overwhelming. And then looking back to, I had one employee that, whilst they were a really good employee, they kind of kept things stirred up And as I can look back and reflect on that, that one person, if I'd have eliminated that person, even though they were really good at their job, it would have probably smoothed things out for me a little. But regardless, it just was so much. I just didn't feel like I could get a handle on that part of it. And the people that I ended up merging with, I knew them in a way. And one of the two gentlemen was really, really good at people management. I mean, like, that's his thing. He told me one time that he can get a group of people to run through a wall for him, and he can. And so that was really appealing to me. I was actually sitting in LaGuardia Airport on my way to the World Series, and my air broke going to my press. And I gave specific instructions to not do anything until my plumber got there. And my press operator went to Lowe's and jerry-rigged the whole situation to get the press up and running without letting my plumber come. And I was really frustrated with that because, you know, it's not his press, and he had no idea if he was going to shoot water into it or what. You know, I had the professionals worked across the street. Let's give it an hour and let the plumber come over. So, that like was a moment for me, and I knew that this company was struggling with production, and so I reached out to the gentleman that I knew and was just like, "Hey, what's going on? What are y'all doing?" And they were trying to outsource their screen printing, and they had an auto and two manuals as well. And so I'm like, if you can figure out a way that we can make this work where you could manage the people and I could manage the sales, I'd be very interested in having a conversation. So I went to the game, watched the Yankees win, got on the plane at LaGuardia the very next morning, sitting on the plane. He calls me back and wants to meet the next morning at 7 a.m. So I went and met with them, and I knew them because the gentleman that I have so much respect for, he was the right-hand man to my business coach. And then the other gentleman was a client as well as I was. I had seen his numbers for his main company at one point because they were shown to me. And I knew that he was very successful. I mean, like, I had seen the numbers and everything. And then I knew the one gentleman's reputation, and I'm just very impressed with him. He was actually a client of mine before he bought a t-shirt company, and they own several companies. And so anyway, we sat down and talked. It just seemed like a complete, you know, win-win for everybody. I rushed into it. Definitely should have done more.
Were you kind of burnt out?
I was.
You were at that 1.3, you know, doing everything stage.
What year was this?
So this was last year. No, this was, yeah, it was during the World Series.
Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah, I was the only game the Yankees won. So I'm a Yankees fan, so that was good. But, and then we actually merged November 18th. So,
wow.
Yeah, very quickly, like a 3 weeks.
What was the, like, how was the structure going to look like? Is it 50-50 between you guys? Is it you take over or he takes over? What were you thinking?
Yeah, how did you structure it?
So they had 60 and I had 40.
And why did you do it that way? Not that it was wrong or right.
That was how they wanted to do it, and I didn't have a problem with that because there were two of them, only one of me. No money changed hands. Our companies were similar size, and so we didn't, no money changed hands. We did seed a bank account, and they put 60 in and I put 40 in. And then, like, I kept all my receivables. They kept all their receivables. And we just started day one with a seeded bank account. That's one of the one things I think we did correctly. So is that since no money changed hands, we each put a set amount in.
Did you go to like a lawyer to like broker this together? Like,
we didn't, and I should have. I mean, if I'd have just slowed down at any point, it would have never happened. They were gung-ho. I was excited because it seemed like a really good opportunity to me to get out of the people management business and into the sales side of things. The company that they had only owned this company for like a year, a little over a year. So the original company was a very good company. The two people, the couple that owned it, highly respected, and they built an incredible business. Even with all the problems, and there were so many problems when I got in there, I would talk to customers that were so loyal to the original owners that they were trying to do business with this train wreck of a company out of loyalty to the people that weren't even invested in any way anymore. I mean, they did. I mean, they had sold it, done. You know, they benefited. They didn't benefit or not benefit in any way or how the company, you know, ran or you know, how successful it was. But there were still a large group of people that were trying really hard to be loyal because of how good the company was.
Okay. So you ran kind of two of them separately for like, so then what, after November 18th, did you move everything under one roof? Like, or you still ran them separately?
We started that process. So we had two locations, one where we screen printed and one where we embroidered. We kept the embroidery at the small location because it, for our labor force, logistically, it was located really well. And where they were located was way south in a suburb. And my embroidery machine operators were not going to travel that far. So we took our screen printing location and we moved it into their location. And they took care of everything as far as that. They had a, you know, they do own several companies. So they have a large workforce and they handled the move. They cleaned the building. They took care of everything. So, you know, all of the logistics part of it was made really easy for me.
So it was all brought in. Who was the new boss or CEO or, you know, who's running the show?
That was cloudy, you know, so they had no industry experience, but yet they wanted to be in charge. And they wanted me to go do sales. And but yet it was a mess. I mean, I can't even tell you how big a mess. I mean, nothing was going out on time. Well, my customers, I care greatly about that. So I, like in the beginning, I was actually embroidering at night to make sure that my orders were going out on time and to try to get their orders to where they were going out on time. And it was a lot. And I worked a ton.
But they were running a shop before though, right?
So they were, but they were running it very poorly.
Got it. And you didn't know that.
I didn't. And, there's several things I should have done. One, I should have checked out all their key employees. Anybody that was key, I should have made sure I knew a lot about them.
What would be the key employees, you think?
Well, for one other thing that was appealing to me is that they told me they had a CFO. That sounded nice. You know, that's right. One less thing. You know, I don't have to worry about sales tax. I don't have to worry about payroll. I don't have to do any of these things. And, the CFO ended up being a big reason why I ultimately left. I just should have dug in and asked a lot more questions. I don't know if I would have got the answers I needed at that time, but definitely I should have dug in and asked some more questions. After we'd been merged, maybe 8 weeks, something like that, they did have a meeting with me and they told me that the CFO had embezzled some funds from his previous employer, and they were hoping that it wouldn't be a big deal, that the previous employer wouldn't want the publicity, and so nothing would come of it, and that he was a dear friend of theirs. They hired him knowing it, and that they were standing behind him, and, you know, kind of there were extenuating circumstances, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. Well, but they thought I should know. Well, yeah, I should have known before we signed anything, but I didn't. And so at that point, I didn't really have, I'm just like, okay, you know, I asked a few questions and it was in the back of my mind, but, you know, I didn't.
Yeah. Dear friends does not equal stolen money.
Oh, but get this. In March, when the story broke on the news, he actually stole $24.9 million from his previous employer.
Oh, that's not a little. Wow.
So at that point, I hired an attorney.
Wow.
To figure out how to get out. There were a lot of things, like even the bank account, they intermingled, commingled funds from all their companies. So like money come in, money go out, money come in, money go out, which made it to where if any of the companies had an issue, a legal issue or a lawsuit or just anything, that any attorney would be able to group all the companies together because of all this commingling of funds. And I just ultimately felt like I was putting everything I'd worked my whole life and everything that my parents had worked their whole life for at risk by remaining. And so I told them they could buy my park, or I would take my rock equipment and embroidery machines and leave. And shockingly, they came back and told me I could just have both companies. They didn't want anything.
Time out. Instant replay. Yeah. So you merged, you own 40%, CFO embezzles from another thing. Here are the keys to our company. Have a field day.
Yeah, so I had to move everything. I called Mark at Rock. Man, I got a shout out to him. So he's moved my press. They've installed my press. Then they've moved my press to a new location. And now I've called him. I want him to move it again. 5 months later. And so I'm trying to explain myself so I don't seem completely, you know, off the rails crazy. And he's like, hey, look, listen, whatever God's got you doing, I'm here to facilitate it. How amazing an answer was that?
Love it.
I will never forget him saying that to me, because my stress level at that moment in time was higher than it's ever been in my life. And like those words he said to me, I'll never forget them. And he did. He flew people in. He got us moved. And of course they charged us to move it, but they were fair, more than fair with what they charged and everything. So they really helped me out. They knew I was in a bad situation, and they really helped me out.
But so you told these partners, hey, I need to leave, either buy me out or let me go. And they turned around and said, just take ours and have at it.
Just take everything. They weren't good at running a t-shirt company, I think. Is the time I was there, there were only 2 weeks that they did not put money in to cover payroll. And they would not adjust our labor force. Like I tried to, let's just cut 6 or 8 hours off of everybody. Let's get payroll down. They wouldn't do it. I've taken it and I was in a hole to begin with for sure, but our revenue's been more than payroll every week. I mean, because it just has to be, you know, and I haven't had to, you know, I mean, we're profitable, and it's just simply because we live within our means, and they did not.
So a part of you is like, vulnerable, made a kind of an emotional rash decision to do this, and then the byproduct of it is now you own a much bigger company?
I do. A lot of the, I mean, to some degree, a lot of the customers, I mean, they've been beat up. I mean, it's, you know, there were some really, really upset people. I've tried to focus on the bigger opportunities and trying to shore those up and make sure that we treat people really well. I have a girl that we have a list of 1,400 people that were customers, and she started at the bottom of the list, which goes down to around a $500 spend. I have no idea what time period. I have no idea. I just have this list. I don't know, like, from what time, and I just have the list. And so she started at the bottom to kind of try to get her, you know, her script and everything set. And started calling the bottom, and now she's gone to the top and is working her way down and just telling, you know, a little watered down version of, hey, we've absorbed this company and we're servicing the orders. We have your files. We'd love to help you any way you can. Lee would be happy to come and meet with you, you know, just whatever. And people have been receptive. You know, some people have placed orders. Some people have said, oh, hey, can you call me back in October? And she's keeping a list. So we're working it from that way. And then we have people that, you know, just calling in and all of that. It has made our customer base is better because the original owners did run a really good business and they had some really good clients that placed nice size orders. So it's letting us kind of even more try to migrate towards getting bigger orders.
During the due diligence process, when you came back from the baseball game and you guys were meeting, were there any red flags that you look back on now and said, oh, like I kind of ignored this, but you know, I'll take the optimistic route.
Not really, because I just based everything on the reputation that I knew, you know, but there's red flags of what I did, but like of things that they did or said, no. I mean, there are other businesses, as far as I know, are very successful and do really well. After we merged, I did have a couple of customers. I had one customer who's a very large customer that told me that they wouldn't continue to do business with me. And I talked to her and got her to stay. And so I saved that, and they're still a client, but there were several people that are like, oh my gosh, you've made a huge mistake. But it wasn't based on them. It was based on how they were running the t-shirt company. They were just in over their head. That they didn't have the time necessary to give to the company. And they were trying to delegate things to people that didn't have industry experience. And so it just got out of
hand. Someone without experience is just going to jump in and make it work. And it's like, yeah, it's a little different than that. Yeah,
and everything we do, you know, we're not working with 6-month timelines and stuff. Everybody needs everything in 8 days. You know, it can get out of hand quickly. You can't pause. I think that was the main problem.
So maybe we could make a list of, if you're thinking about merging, right? Like say you're flirting with another shop down the road from you. And you've started to have these conversations, what would, if you could go back in time, how would you have done it? Like, what are the different steps you would have taken? You know, you said one thing earlier, you said it was, I would slow down. So like taking the emotion out of it and really, really slowing down. But like what specifically, and maybe Bruce, you can add some of this of, and we call this diligence, due diligence. What would have been your due diligence process the next time this happens?
I doubt I ever merge any assets with anyone ever again. But I just like, write me a check.
Hey, but you may come out with both.
Yeah.
A couple of things I wish I would have done that I think would be a good idea to do is, you know, if you're at the point that you're going to merge, but before you sign anything, you know, maybe you sign some non-competes, non-disclosure agreements, and you exchange customer lists. And you have the freedom to each one of you just randomly call a few customers and see how the experience is. Because then you can find out pretty quick how the business is being ran. And again, they'd only had it a year. So it was hard because all the reputation hadn't caught up yet, you know, because it was still off of this great reputation of these people. And then really have some honest conversations with employees. You know, I hadn't been there very many days before people were like, oh, yeah, nothing goes out on time here. I just hate when someone walks through the front door because I know we're not going to have their order ready. Well, you know, if I would have been free to spend a couple of days there before we merged, and then maybe even talk to a couple of past employees, you know, ask current employees like, oh, who else used to work here? And yeah, you may find someone that was disgruntled as they left. But there's a lot of people that leave that aren't disgruntled. They just leave for different opportunities. But they can be pretty insightful to what was great and what was not great about a company. So I think spending more time with employees and spending a little more time with customers would be a good way to just like get a pulse. And then, man, the banking, the financial part, that's just hard because, like, especially in this case where they had so many companies. But if I'd have asked to see the bank accounts and tax returns and stuff for the current company, and like really looked at those, that commingling of funds, I just know that's a bad thing. You know, it just leaves everybody's liability wide open. And, you know, while I looked at the like they ran, they didn't run Printavo. So when I looked at their shop management software, as good as I could, not knowing how to operate it, you didn't see that like you would have in their bank account. But since we didn't merge bank accounts, we didn't really dive into each other's bank accounts. So I think even though we started fresh with seeded accounts, it would have been good to see each other's bank accounts, to see the spin, to see if there's that commingling of funds, to see if you're paying your mortgage out of your bank account, you know, things like that, that would be red flags.
So when I bought into Campus Sportswear, mind you, I was 23 years old and I was super eager, super excited, graduating from college. Like, this is what I want to do. And I had two business partners that were proposing to me this deal. I was so bought into like, everything's going to be fine. I was like convincing myself, like, it's going to be great. And anything that would be maybe a red flag, I would just convince myself out of it, if that makes sense. And when I walked my first week, one of my business partners, who we actually bought out, you know, he expected me to be essentially the busboy there. Like, you're going to be first in, last out. You need to answer every single phone. You're going to have to learn how to print. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. And I want you to build the website and I want you to do marketing and I want you to do this. So if I showed up a little late, or I wanted to leave, like, he treated me like an employee, and it never got off on a right foot. And 3 years into it, I did the same thing and was like, you either buy me out or I'm buying you out, because our working relationship was so bad. And he had been in the business for 35 years. He showed up every single day to work and printed. And what I didn't really, and I grew, as a byproduct of it, I latched onto my other business partner, Jed, who's like my second dad, best friend. He was actually not actively in the business. He ran other companies, but we would work on things together at night and like talk about business and how it should run. And so we ended up buying out that third partner. But, you know, understanding how people are going to work together as leaders, like, you have to spend, I learned that, like, you have to spend time learning what's going to, you know, who's going to be the decision maker, who's going to piss off who, how are you going to handle conflicts, what are your personalities like, you know? And I thought for a second, like, I was a year into it, you know, and I would call my dad and be like, I cannot stand working with this person. I think, you know, I may have made the wrong decision, whatever. And it was like torturing. I mean, I would talk to Bruce about it. Like, am I trapped? What did I get myself into? Right. And so I think you also have the wherewithal to be like, I can get out. And I think that's pretty impressive that you were able to do that so quickly. Bruce, what are other things in diligence? If you could like make a list, I started making one a little bit, but what would be your checklist? And, you know, for anyone that, you know, kind of knows the Printavo story, like, you guys went through what, 6 months to a year of diligence?
Three and a half months,
right? When I get my investments
of intense 15 hour type days, constant reports generation.
Yes. So what are all the
days a week?
What are all the things that you would go through, Bruce, if you were doing diligence on a company to merge, like Leah hired you to go in and do diligence, what would you do?
Lee, you started it off really good. I mean, the bank statements is a huge one. It is tricky because people have been known to also fake information, and it's hard to tell, like, what is this transaction? What is this transaction? And we would have calls though of going through like a month, for example, and like line by line and look at those. So that's like a great point. I think to your point, Stephen, about the people side, there was a plan for what the people structure would be. And then there was one owner that would take over and go from there. The plan was, all right, Bruce, you run it for 6 months, then we're hiring a CEO to put in place. And then we're going to put in all the management structure and so on from there. So it was like very expected what things were going to look like from 1 year. But due diligence wise, the first thing is they were validating the revenue essentially. So it was the customers that you have, give us the top X customers. And then they wanted to make sure to understand the risk of the top X customers. So if you have one whale customer, that's a big risk. And so, you know, like you said, who is this customer? Can we talk to them? Can we have a conversation? And one way that they would do it is say, hey, we're doing some market research. So to not spook either, you know, them, because that can be a little bit weird and raise a lot of questions. And then that's what they would do with employees too, which they would chat with a couple key employees. So exactly what you said. The other thing that they would do is go through reports on the legal side. So, you know, hey, are you up to date with tax filing? Are you up to date with sales tax filing? Are you up to date with, you know, certificates and whatever else that you need? Things with the state, are you in good standing? Make sure that's checked off. And then the quality of revenue. So, you know, did that big whale customer, have they returned the last few years? Are they planning on coming back? Are they happy? Things like that to be able to give a kind of a stamp of approval that they feel more comfortable. I think those were the big aspects. Even with it, what am I missing? Because you've gone through like the fundraising stuff, and I'm sure investors have asked you tons of questions.
Yeah. So, you know, if I were doing this in a merger, the first thing is like, give me all your financial disclosures, like give me your P&L, your balance sheet, your tax returns. And, you know, like you said, Leah, this is really hard. You can't trust a P&L very much, especially in a small business, because people shove expenses in different spots. Revenue came in here. Oh, we got a big check there. And so having a third party, like another CPA, look at it and redline and be like, okay, what is going on there? Why did they show no profit there? Why is there 50 grand of profit here? And like almost rebuilding the financial model to take into all the fudge factors, right? I think that's one of the most important parts, because a lot of small businesses show that they don't make any money, but then they say they make money, but then the employee, the owner is paying themselves a certain amount, right? Like there's all of these weird little nuances that are going to happen. And then it's really like understanding the process, right? Like, you know, show me all of your processes, show me all of your procedures, understanding the voice of the customer. Like you kind of have to uncover every single rock that there is. And you almost have to go into it with a half glass empty attitude instead of a half glass full.
Wait, can I read you something? I've got actually this list that I want to pull. This was sort of the legal template. So there's 9 points. I'll blaze through it. Number one, corporate, all the legal stuff you said, state business registration, if you shared any equity with people, any type of corporate documents, workers comp, that kind of stuff to make sure, because you don't want to carry legal liability, like if an employee sues or whatever else happens. Number two, financial information, all the bank statements. Number three, sales and marketing. So who are the top customers? To be able to reach out to them. And then for if you have a sales team, what does commission look like? And how well do they do? Number four, customer information. What are the customers, if they can, you know, strip out maybe emails and stuff, what did the customer mix look like? To see if you're carrying any risk there. Human resources, what does the employees look like and dismissals look like over the last 2-3 years? They would go up to 3 years for all of this stuff. So that's a good best practice. What does the, if there's any technology or things like that implemented, what does any agreements look like? So liabilities with that, you know, if you've signed a 5-year license or something like that to pay, for make sure that you understand that. If there are any legal or outstanding legal issues, contracts, If you took, you know, any special loans, PPP money, things like that. And then the last one was a kind of a random, you know, request list that they would say. But basically, those were more specific reports about customers or employee information. So anyway, that's like the basic template. But it is pretty crazy. Like, and I don't know if you have to go to that detail, but I think it's pretty in line with Leo, what, like, you talk about as the ideal situation and with the goal of reducing your risk. And if there is a red flag, it's, oh, I have a plan. I know exactly what's going to happen here. And I have a plan for how we're going to mitigate this risk. And sometimes it's the key man risk, right? Like, to your point, Leah, like if they all know the owner and they're working with the owner for sales, that is a risk that how are we going to move that off? Are we going to keep the owner on for 12 months and incentivize them and slowly move them off? If they plan on leaving soon, then that's a bit of a red flag too.
Can you, if anyone wants that list, you can email us like Steven@campus.inc, Bruce@Printavo, and we'll be happy to send it out. But Leah, like, I think most small business owners, we make these decisions in like emotion, right? And so I just, you said it best. If there's one tip or piece of advice, it's slow the frick down when you're thinking about this stuff, because it all seems like really great. Now, maybe we can turn a page and talk about after you then unmerged, but sort of got this new pot mess that you were dealing, unmerge, remerge.
Two new cultures, two new teams, you know,
a lot. So then, what was the first 90 days for you like? Where you're like, okay, I'm back in charge. Let's do this. Talk to us about what the first 30, 60 days and how you maybe felt like you had a breath of fresh air, but like you probably worked with much more intention. What did that look like?
It was a lot. We found a building that was the immediate thing, is I had to find a building. So we ended up moving just a couple of blocks behind our small embroidery place. So now we're all under one roof in a 12,000 square foot building. We have more room than we need. But I negotiated a really great lease on it. We've got a super great rating. Very happy there. So that was a big win. I did not play around with the move. I hired a semi. So we had two semis roll up and they moved us. And that's the way to go. That's the best $2,000 I've ever spent. They had two forklifts, two semis, loaded everything up that, you know, we couldn't move, you know, on a trailer or whatever. So the autos are, you know, everything's just moved. And so that was good. So then we're in, of course, electric and plumbing was crazy expensive. I'm just hemorrhaging money at this point. And we got our manuals and our electric dryer. Of course, the manuals we set up. We got our electric dryer wired up, ready to go. So now we can print T-shirts. So this is good. Embroidery's still at the little location. This is all, you know, in just a couple of weeks. Then our electricians and plumbers get our rock going, our gas dryer. And so we really, that was a big step. Okay, we're completely operational in screen printing. And then the very next week, we moved embroidery up and got all under one roof. And that when we were all under one roof, which took from the time we decided to unmerge until we were on our own, all in one roof, was about 7 weeks. And that 7 weeks was no joke. I mean, it was rough. It really, really was rough. I handled stress really well. But man, I was at my limit a lot of days. But once we were all in one building, it was just, I felt like I could exhale. And we just, you know, we were operational. And then we just started trying to get, you know, things, people in the office they wanted to be in, and because painting and all that's going on, you know, and get unpacked. I mean, we had a pod that we filled with the whole showroom stuff, and it had to be unpacked and gone through and put away. And, you know, it was just more than you could do in a day or a week. And so we just, as we chipped away at all that and finally felt like we were moved in, we unmerged March 24th. We moved into our building April 22nd, and we were probably situated end of May. And so June and July have been great. Sales are good. the team seems pretty happy, and it's we're rocking along pretty good. We're starting to try to get an outbound system going, you know, with Kevin. I'm a new girl starting a week from Monday. She's going to build out our CRM and get that going. So that'll take us a different direction. Plus, we're in Fabric. So I think that'll be really helpful. So I'm really excited about like what the next year holds. But yeah, it was bumpy to get here for sure this year.
In those 7 weeks, like when you know you have all of these employees that are probably like, what the heck is going on? How do you, and to be able to do it that quickly, you know, and handle all that stress, how were you able to keep the team motivated, excited? Did you have key people step up and just help you? Like, there's no way you could do this alone, but yeah.
My office manager quit in the middle of it. She had had a baby, and it was stressful. She'd been working at our little location, you know, basically with nobody bothering her. And then all of a sudden we move her in the middle of this chaos. And she missed her baby and everything. And so she left. She's back with us working from home since DGI's gone. She's doing all my purchasing from home. So that worked out good. But other than her, so when she left, she handled our embroidery. And so I put our trimmer in, I just like promoted her to embroidery manager, and she has absolutely crushed it. I mean, I showed her how to set up lettering, and I have not had to walk back into the embroidery department except to say hi. So that was a real win. She really stepped up and did a great job. And then the guy that I put as production manager, and he is just fantastic. We have a solid screen printer. I'm convinced we have one of the best screen printers in the country working for us. So that position was really solid. She was on board. I was worried because I didn't know. They had hired her and I didn't know, but she's totally on board. It's just been great. I mean, really everybody was great. My embroidery machine operators were all happy because they just don't want to move further from home. And they were more, the other gentleman really hadn't interacted with them that much. So I wasn't ever worried about embroidery, but everything else. Yeah. I mean, it was stressful.
And then how do you lead now? Like, do you do weekly meetings with different teams? Like now that it's almost like it's almost like you have a new business now. What are you doing different this time around in the way you work? I mean, and you joined Fabric in the middle of it. Like, you know, you're obviously making a lot of different strides, but how are you a different entrepreneur, CEO, leader now? And what are you doing differently now this time around?
Well, one thing I did learn, so these two gentlemen I merged with, one of them I don't particularly care for, but the other guy is brilliant. I mean, he really is. He is brilliant. And I learned a lot from him. And I just do a really good job of staying out of production now. I tell them, we have weekly meetings. And then back of house has a little daily huddle each morning just to get on the same page. And then we have a couple of, we have a manager meeting, and then we have a front of the house meeting each week. But I tell them all, if I'm running a heat press, if I'm running an embroidery machine, I'm running the laser engraver, things have gone terribly wrong, because we're all going to make way more money if I'm not doing those things, because I need to be doing other things that makes the company grow and be more profitable. And I think that's hard for my people, the people that came with me, to completely get on board with that. I mean, still they want to like assign me tasks or something, because that was how I worked. I just jumped in and was in the middle of everything with them. The other company, that's not how they work, because those two gentlemen didn't have any idea how to do all this stuff. So they didn't ever do anything. So those people are, you know, they would never come and tell me, hey, can you go laser this plaque or something like that? Because they weren't brought up that way. Where my people were brought up that, oh, you know, hey, if you need something done, just ask Leah, she'll do it. And I really tried to back up, and because me not being in production is definitely the better way to do it. So that's changed, and I'm doing a real good job with that. And it gives me time to do things like Fabric and where we can get better. And it makes, it really does make it to where they can be paid more as we have a smarter business and a more profitable business.
That's amazing. Leah, thanks for sharing all of this. As Stephen mentioned, there are a lot of shops looking to be able to merge or have thought about it and seriously give it some thought. So hopefully this gave some people some things to think about and some things to look through. If people do have questions, is there a way that they can reach out to you?
Oh yeah. I'm easily reachable, through email or, just call in the office or whatever.
Okay. I'm going to drop your email down. We'll put your email down in the description. Leah from 918 Design Co. out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you so much for being able to join us, Print Hustlers. We appreciate you guys joining us every single week. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, Leah.
Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.